This morning as we gather, we're going to be spending time in Mark chapter 7. And several things happen or described for us in this chapter. It begins with a discussion about the difference between being clean and unclean. And Jesus takes that to a level that really ought to challenge every one of us about how we view life. And in fact, it ought to challenge us on how we be those workers who are involved in sharing the good news of Jesus. We've spent the last couple years, 2 years ago, really with a heavy focus, and it seems to have declined some, but that the constant focus of washing your hands, of being clean. Back when COVID first began, that was everything that you heard. Be sure you clean, be sure you wash, be sure you do this and do that. And I think people kind of got tired of hearing that. And so it's not, at least in the circles I work in and live in, it's not heard near as much as it was early in the process. But sometimes I think we become so concerned about looking clean that we miss what God says being clean really is. And so this morning I want to look at this message I've entitled Living as Clean. And we're going to use that word clean as our outline and walk through those five letters as to what it looks like from God's perspective for us to be clean. And it's more than just washing our hands or taking a bath or putting on the deodorant or whatever it is that we tend to do as we go out in public so that we believe that we're presentable to others. But it's going to look at what do we do so that Christ is presentable to others through us. I think that's the important part. And so, as I introduce it, James chapter 4, verse 8 tells us, he says, wash your hands, purify your hearts. And he says that in the context of seeking God and finding Him. When we desire to seek God, when we desire to find God and to live in relationship with Him, He says, okay, then it's time to clean up and to wash and to purify yourself. Now, we know that the real purification that we need, the real cleansing that we need is only possible through the blood of Jesus. It's not something that we can spend enough time in front of the sink cleaning up ourselves. It's done through relationship with Jesus. And as we look at Mark chapter 7, we're going to see how Jesus describes some of that. Now, the introduction to Mark chapter 7 is this discussion. As was often the case, the religious leaders would watch Jesus. They would watch his disciples. And they were very quick to point out the things that they thought were wrong. Things that they were doing that just didn't quite add up in their book. And that was the case here as we begin Mark chapter 7. It says, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw that some of his disciples eating food were doing so with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. You see, the Pharisees and all of the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. Now, Jesus is not saying we shouldn't wash our dishes, that we shouldn't wash our hands. He was really talking about this obsession with washing things that were already clean. And so the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? And Jesus replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, but their teachings are simply rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God, and you are holding on to the traditions of men. Now, I would guess, as we've gathered this morning, we hear that, and we would say, I don't want to be like that. I would rather hold on to the things of God than simply follow traditions for the sake of following traditions. Now, again, I'm not saying we throw out traditions. Traditions can be good things. They can train us. They can teach us. But when those become greater than following God, then we've got a problem. And that's what Jesus is getting at. So what does it look like to live as clean? Well, I think the first part of living as clean is that we learn to live as those who are compassionate. Jesus went on in this text in verses 9 through 13 of Mark chapter 7. And he says to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban, that is a gift that's devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father and mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. Jesus was addressing this practice that in order to avoid taking care of their parents, in order to avoid having compassion, even on their own family, they would cling to this tradition of setting aside everything for God. Now, if you really looked at their lifestyle and you studied and understood the religious leaders of that day, they really weren't doing that. They would claim that, and they would make a show and a pretense that God is above all. But in their refusal to listen to Jesus, they were proving that there were other things more important. And to lack even the compassion for your own family. I mean, we look at the instructions of God and he calls us to live as those who have compassion on the people around us, on everyone. But if we can't do that with our family, how are we ever going to expand that into our neighbors, into our community, into our state, into our nation, into our world? So living as one who is clean, Jesus says, it's one who has compassion on those who have needs. And he addresses their issue of not caring for their parents, of not caring for those among them who were in need. And when we want to clean our life, when we want God to change us, he calls us to a life that's filled with compassion. I don't know about you, but I tend to have this imagination, and so visual stimulus really cuts to me pretty quickly. And in this era that we live in, where there's instantaneous video from almost anywhere imaginable, it's a pretty difficult thing to observe. I watched the war going on in Ukraine and all of the devastation and those that are suffering, and those that are fleeing and trying to find safety. And my heart at one level says, how can people do this to one another? But I think as we look at our world today, we may look at that and say, well, that's horrible. How can they do that? And then we turn around and we may not be shooting our neighbor, but we're not treating them like God would want us to. And you see, that heart of compassion that those visual images from around the world moves me to is what God says I ought to be living with to everyone that I meet every day. And how many times do I come to church and I wash my hands in a sense and I say, God, I'm here, I'm worshiping you, I'm honoring you, and then I leave and I don't live like God wants me to live. I get upset at the guy that's driving too slow in front of me and I want to get to the restaurant so I can eat. And inwardly, I'm saying things that I probably shouldn't be saying out loud or inwardly, either one. Because I don't have compassion on whatever it is going on in their life. And God says it's not cleaning up the outside that's all that difficult. It's cleaning up the inside. And it begins with choosing compassion, choosing to care about people in their time of need. If you study Scripture, you'll see that God's desire is that we care for people in their time of need, regardless of how they got there. We like to kind of evaluate and prioritize. And well, they're in need and they're deserving of help because it was of no fault of their own. And that person's in need and they brought it on themselves. So forget that. And that's not compassion. That's just making ourselves feel good about helping. And as we live as those who are clean, we live as those who are compassionate towards everyone. When we live as those that are clean, we also live as those who are learning to recognize and to admit, I don't know everything. I need instruction. I need time that I can learn, and learning that produces good actions. Verses 14 through 16, after talking to the crowds and to the religious leaders, it says, Jesus again called the crowd to him and said, listen to me. Listen, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside of a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. And when we begin to learn that it's a God who examines our heart, it's a God who examines our motive, it's a God that examines what comes out. Jesus says that it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. And so when we begin to listen to ourselves, it would be good to take an accurate evaluation of what do my words sound like? Because that's a good measurement of what's inside the heart. Do my words sound hurtful? Do they sound hateful? Do they sound judgmental? Do they sound bitter? Do they sound harsh? And Jesus calls us to live a life of learning. Then we're not simply learning about Jesus. We're not simply learning about the things of God. We're not simply learning about His Word. We're learning about ourselves. And living a life that's clean is a life that's learning that I need help. That what's inside isn't always what it ought to be. And Jesus says that's what we need to focus on. It's pretty easy for most of us to kind of polish ourselves up for an hour and show up in a church gathering and everything's fine and everything's good and we're all good. And then we go home and that facade kind of starts to melt away. And to learn what we're really like so that God can truly make us clean. So that those things that are deep within us, that if everyone here were to know every detail of what's in my heart today, that we would say, oh, I can't believe you even came to church today. God knows. And He wants us to learn how to change that heart by surrendering every bit of it to Jesus. You see, living is clean says that we're learning how much we need Jesus. It's not that we're learning what we have to change ourselves because we typically can't. It's learning that we need Jesus inside. When he says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, if our heart is filled with Jesus, then our words ought to reflect that. Our life ought to reflect that. So not only is living as clean, living as compassionate, living as learning, but it's also living as explaining. I think this fits in well with this key verse of asking the Lord of the harvest to send out workers and to be those workers. Peter writes and tells us to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you, but to do so with gentleness and respect. Living as clean says I'm living a life that's explaining why what's inside is different from what it used to be. Verses 17 through 23, as often would happen after Jesus addresses the crowds, his disciples begin scratching their head and say, what in the world are you talking about? And Jesus would explain to them. And whether it was a parable or whether it was a simple interaction with others, as in this case, it says, after he left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull? He asked them. Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body. And I love this parenthesis. It says, in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. Now, they didn't get that then, and they didn't get that for quite some time, but eventually Jesus shows up to Peter and kind of convinces him that cleanliness is different from what they anticipated it would be. But he went on and said, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. I think as we seek to live as those that are clean, this explaining part kind of opens up this window into realizing how much we need Jesus. It's easy to think about others and their sin and how much they need Jesus. Kind of like the tax collector and the publican, this guy that comes up to pray, and the one guy's just, well, he's really, the Bible says he's praying to himself, if that gives you an idea of where he's at spiritually, but he's talking out loud and presumably presenting it as if he's talking to God, and in essence say, God, you're so lucky to have me. I've not done anything bad. I'm such a good person. I'm not like that guy over there. And the guy over there is just beating his chest and crying out to God and saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And this explaining part of living as clean says, I'm that person. It's you read the list, and this is a one of those lists of various types of sin and the way that we present sin. And you read some of Paul's letters, and he'll talk about murder, and he'll talk about adultery, and he'll talk about greed and anger in the same breath. And we have a tendency to think of some of those sins as being worse than others. And living as clean says that Jesus comes along and explains that sin is anything that disobeys God and separates us from Him. And whether we call it a little sin or whether we call it a big sin, the consequences is separation from God without that cleansing blood of Jesus. And God says that the blood of Jesus is powerful, that it's effective, that it cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Living as clean says we live as those explaining the need of everyone. And I believe that includes the need of ourself. Because until we explain in our own mind how much we need Jesus, we're likely just going to live with an outward appearance rather than a really inwardly changed heart. Living as clean says that we live as compassionate, we live as learning, we live as explaining, but we also live as accepting. Still in Mark chapter 7, verses 27 through 30, we kind of move into another story. And in a way, it looks like it's kind of changing subjects, but I believe it applies to this concept of living as clean. It's a story of a woman whose daughter was possessed by an evil spirit. Now, the difficulty in their day especially was that this woman was a Greek, was not Jewish at all. And, well, in the minds of those watching, she would have been unclean. She was one that they really was to have no contact with. And yet here she is in their midst, seeking Jesus, seeking help, hearing about Jesus, believing that he was the answer to her daughter's problem. And believing so much that she does everything that she can to find herself and to put herself into his presence. Now listen to this interchange, Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 27. This is Jesus saying, "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." I have to tell you, that seems like a pretty harsh statement. For a woman coming to Jesus with a daughter who has been possessed by this evil spirit, seeking help, and Jesus says, "Well, hold up a minute. We're going to take care of the children first, and it wouldn't be good to give the food that belonged to the children to the dogs." And wait a minute. Did Jesus just refer to this woman as a dog? I mean, this sounds really harsh. Yet you have to realize, I realize, and I believe that Jesus says what he says, not so much in condemnation of her, but in order to teach those that are listening. The woman responds with what Jesus describes elsewhere as great faith. She says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then Jesus told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." Living as clean says we learn to accept those that perhaps in our past we have deemed unacceptable. Those that we have written off, those that we say to ourselves are beyond hope. I think all of us probably have someone that comes to mind, whether we know them by name or just by appearance, that we would say, they're not interested. They would never change. They've lived life in such a way that they're hopeless. And God says they're part of that plentiful harvest to accept them. The Bible tells us that we ought to accept one another just as Christ has accepted us. I wonder how was that? I know at least in my life, it wasn't that Christ waited to accept me until I had everything lined up perfectly and everything was perfect in my life, and because I've not reached that point. Christ has accepted me out of my faith, just as this story of this woman coming and initially being told that this stuff doesn't belong to you and responding in a way that presents a faith that says, "But there's enough for everyone." When we live life, when we ask God to send out workers into the harvest field, Are we willing to go wherever he says to go? To whomever he says to go to? To accept that God's love is for them just as much as it's for you? As I thought about all of the events in the world and those specifically in Ukraine at the moment, I have a friend that spent at least 14 years, I've lost track of how long, serving as a missionary in Russia. And I had opportunities to visit him on two different occasions and to help do some teaching there and met some incredible people. Well, now they're kind of the enemy. They're kind of the bad people in all of this history going on. And yet, what did Jesus tell us to do? It's to pray for our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us. And so I also have friends that have come from Ukraine that live in South Bend and have family that can still live there. And some have kind of hunkered down and tried to stay put and safe, and others have left the country. But what does it look like to live as clean, to live as accepting of those that, well, we don't like? Those that are living as enemies. Not simply enemies of us, not simply enemies of our friends, but as enemies of God. You see, Jesus says that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is powerful. Paul writes and says that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That it can cut and divide and do this intricate surgery in the hearts and lives of people so that there's hope for anyone who would listen, to anyone who would turn to Jesus. And as we live out this concept, this command of living as clean, we learn to accept people, so that we'll share Jesus with them. Finally, we live as clean as we live as those who are compassionate, those who are learning, those who are explaining, those who are accepting, but we live as clean as those who are new. We're no longer who we used to be. God says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Now, I believe we first have to apply that to ourselves and believe that God has made us new. And for some, that's a difficult thing to do. But we also have to apply it to others and believe that God's power has made them new, or that it can make them new if they desire. The very end of this chapter 7, the last section, Jesus heals a man who is deaf and mute. And after he does that, in verse 36 and 37, it says, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. And people were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. When you live as clean, you live as one who Christ has made new. It ought to get the attention of people around you. It ought to cause this same reaction in people that they had at the healing of this person who was deaf and mute. Wow, Jesus has done everything well. Look what he's done in your life. Look what he's done in my life. It's not what it used to be. It's kind of the new and improved version. You go to the store and it kind of becomes a cycle that various products, every few years or sometimes more frequently than that, they'll print up a new box and slap a label on it that says new and improved. And you wonder, well, what changed? Well, sometimes just the box and the label. But how about you and me? Do we show up in the presence of God and we walk out and slap a label on ourselves that say, new and improved? And the people around us say, well, what changed? Is there anything? You see, living as clean says I live as new. That God has indeed changed me from the inside out. You see, that's what gives us the power. That's what gives us the ability. That's what gives us the testimony to share with others so that the harvest can be brought in. So that as the workers go out, that the harvest is gathered. See, as we consider what this week brings, I'm guessing each one of us has an idea of what we hope it brings. We probably have our tentative plans that may be more tentative than we believe they are. But God says, is your life going to be lived out of things that you believe are important or out of things that He believes is important? Will you live as clean? Whoever you interact with this week, whether it's a coworker, whether it's the person at the grocery store, whether it's the guy driving on the highway next to you or behind you or in front of you, whether it's a neighbor, family member, will you live as compassionate towards them? Will you live as learning? That pause to say, okay, help me understand what's going on here. Will you live as explaining? Explaining how Jesus can make a difference. Will you live as accepting? Not writing off anyone just because you think you know them, but giving them the same chance that God has given you. And will you live as new? That new creation in Christ that God has made each one of us. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that you have not only called us to live as clean, but you've given us your Spirit that gives us the ability and power to do that through that cleansing of the blood of Jesus. God, today, may we not only look ahead towards this week, but may we do so with a mind that is deliberate about living as clean. Oh, not so worried about the outside, but that we would allow your Spirit to help us clean up the inside. The way we treat others. The way that we love them. The way that we share Jesus with them. The way that we're not only ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us, but the way that we actually give that answer. Father, today, help us to leave this place better prepared, more aware of that great harvest that surrounds us every day, but more prepared to live as one who is clean and one who can be one of those workers to bring in the harvest. Father, may we make the most of every opportunity this week because we're paying attention. And may we represent Jesus well in everything we do and everything that we say so that as we lift Him up, that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray.